Thank you so much. Good morning, Valley Church family. Good morning. This is such a great place to be, and we love coming here. It's really an annual thing right now. And we not only love to give, but we benefit by who you are and just the passion and what you're going after as a house. It impacts Wendy and I greatly. We're better for knowing you. Thank you, Lynn and Renee and Matthew, Jonah, the team, for what you're creating here. I have Andy and Jenny. Why don't you guys stand up? They've been serving. They're part of my team. Some of you were yesterday morning in the VSSM and heard great things about that. And my wife, Wendy, preached on Friday night. I love listening to her preach. You know, she sometimes preaches to me in the house. Yeah, Steve, close the cupboards. But just her word on Friday night, if you weren't here and you just want to hear a word on the power of the imagination and the power of Holy Spirit and what God's doing in this hour, it's just a great word. I've got my family. Why don't you guys wave my family back there? Yes, they're my son Kyle. And he's a fifth grade teacher here in Caldwell. His wife Amanda's a speech therapist in the school system here. And then my grandchildren, Case and Zane. We got to spend some time with them yesterday. Live here and love being a part of this community and Caldwell. And I want to start with a story. I'm going to tell myself a little bit. The title of the day's message is, What Will You Choose to Believe in 2025? What will you choose to believe in 2025? We pastored for 10 years in Central Nevada. I remember, it was probably about 1999, when my wife Wendy and I and our daughter Heidi was probably about 13, 14 at that time, driving from Reno to Round Mountain where we were, about 4-hour drive, freak snowstorm happens, we get stuck having to stay in a motel. I didn't want to do it. I was already a little frustrated because I thought we had spent too much money that day because we went to Reno to do some shopping. And now we have to spend money for a motel. And I'm unhappy. A little grumpy. Anybody ever been a little grumpy? Yeah, okay. Uh-huh. Yeah. And I go to bed that I'm not, because I suggested, let's go on a 3-hour detour around I was vetoed by my wife and daughter, so we had to stay in the motel. You guys getting the picture here? And so I'm unhappy with Wendy. Got my back turned to her when we're sleeping there. I don't want to talk to her. And the Lord says, Steve, what's wrong? I said, it's these women you've given me. Now I said, I'm frustrated. Frustrated. Because I'm trying to get ahead, and I just can't seem to get ahead. Just when I think I'm getting ahead, then, yeah, something happens. And I felt like the Lord said, I said, man, if I had just had things better, I felt like the Lord just said, Steve, you don't need a new set of circumstances. You need a new set of beliefs. Because even if I give you a higher level of experiences and circumstances, your poor beliefs are just going to sabotage those things and bring you back down to where you're living. And we were in the desert, and the Lord, He likes to send people to deserts to teach them how to repent. We were driving today, we saw some sagebrush on the road, and it gave us a warm, fuzzy feeling. But the word repent means to change the way you think. That's a literal Greek meaning. Repent, for the kingdom of God. Change the way you think, for the kingdom's at hand. And you can't even see what's at hand unless you change how you think. Now repentance is not an event, it's a lifestyle. We don't repent primarily from things, we repent to things. And I'll try to explain that a little bit, because you certainly, if we have negative behaviors and, you know, and sin and just doing things wrong, yes, we turn from that. But that's only the beginning. Repentance has changed the way you think. It's a lifestyle, and so it's necessary. And I'm going to try to convince you today that what you believe is more important than what you do. That's my goal today. I'm going to try to convince. Some of you are already convinced. But I'm going to put some spiritual gasoline on that belief. And because the kingdom of God has not moved forward by good behavior, it's moved forward by good beliefs. Now, good behavior is important. Character and integrity are important. But the old covenant was, the Old Testament was all about the works of the law. It was primarily for, thou shalt not, and what we do. And again, but we couldn't do it. So Jesus came and died on the cross in order to give us a new nature so that we could do it. The question of the hour is not, Lord, what should I do? The question of the hour is, Lord, what should I believe? It's the greater question in 2025. Certainly asking, Lord, what we should do is important. Give me wisdom, give me direction, help me be in the right place and do the right thing. But the greater question is, Lord, what do you want me to believe this year? And I'll give you a hint. What he's going to want you to believe is going to be higher than what you're feeling and experiencing right now. It's called faith. Imagine that. I remember saying, Lord, I'll get better beliefs when things start getting better in my life and I start feeling better. Is that okay with you? He said, no. Now, you know, in that motel room, basically the Lord said, Steve, it's delusional for you to think if you just keep trying harder that you're going to get the breakthrough you want. It's delusional with the beliefs you have. And I think about even athletes, you know, how athletes, think of someone like Steph Curry or Michael Jordan or, you know, someone like that, you know, They not only work hard and train and understand their role, but successful athletes have successful beliefs. That's really what is the... There's so many people who've got great abilities, but because they can't overcome disappointment or losses, then they get stuck. And by the way, I just see, even in this meeting, the Lord is upgrading people's beliefs. It's already happening. I mean, the songs we sang today, man, oh man, it's powerful. One of my goals in life is that belief workouts will become more popular than physical fitness workouts. Because nobody wants flabby beliefs. Flabby beliefs are a bummer. Because if you have flabby beliefs, your load-bearing capacity is limited. Because you can't carry much in life with bad beliefs. You can't carry. And obviously the most important beliefs we have are concerning who Jesus is God in the flesh. He died on the cross for my sins. He rose from the grave, and all of that, having good theology. But we can have good theology and have bad beliefs. And I want good theology. And so I want to just share a few Bible verses with you today. And these are, I'll come back to these, but some of my favorite Bible verses, Romans 12:2, where it says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed." Say transformed. "But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Don't be conformed to the world's thinking. Break out of the pack. Just say, "I'm breaking out of the pack." Now, transformation ultimately doesn't come from surrendering your heart. It comes from surrendering your beliefs. Now, we need to surrender our hearts. We saw water baptism today, which is a representation of giving our heart to the Lord. But we, which is what Romans 12:1 says about giving our bodies as a living sacrifice. But if we're going to see transformation, which is having the promises of God in our experience and our feelings, it doesn't come from trying harder. It comes from renewing the mind. Someone say amen to that.
Amen.
And then John 8:31-32. I like what Jesus says. He says, "And if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you will know the truth." Say, "Know the truth."
Know the truth.
"And you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, here's the thing. John 8:31 says, if you abide in my word, that means if you live in what I'm saying, it's going to cause something to happen. You're going to know the truth. And that word "know" is an intimate relationship with the word that affects how you feel. And that word actually makes you free. Now, discipleship is primarily helping people believe like Jesus. Not just act like Jesus, but believe like Jesus. I mentor a lot of people. I've written a book called Culture of Empowerment and Leadership, and I'm more concerned about what the people I'm leading believe than what they do. It's not that I'm not concerned about what they do, but I know if they don't go higher in what they're believing, they're not going to go higher in what they're doing. Now, I used to only abide, primarily in lies of the devil. I abide in them. I'm unworthy. I'm. Before I could even speak in front of people, I said, I'm not a good speaker. I don't do relationships well. I'm poor. And so I would abide in that, which didn't get good results. 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. And these are all just kind of opening verses. "For the weapons," say weapons.
"Weapons,
the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds." Go to verse 5. It says, "Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing," how many thoughts?
Every
thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So, the most quoted spiritual warfare passage in the Bible is not talking about regional demonic principalities. It's talking about our own thinking. And it's talking here about negative strongholds. Negative strongholds are created in our lives by repeatedly renewing our mind with lies. And so, like, some of the negative strongholds that we all battle are strongholds of regret. If only, if only. Anybody else battle regret? Victim mindset. That's a stronghold. It's a stronghold. I am at a disadvantage because of, fill in the blank. That's the victim. I mean, whether it's finances, health, family situation, whatever. You know, intellect, education, job. Strongholds of disappointment, discouragement, etc. Pessimism, perfectionism. These are all negative strongholds that are developed by repeated abiding in lies. And it's interesting that in that passage it says, put verse 5 back up again. It says, bringing every thought. How many thoughts are those? How many is every? That's a lot of thoughts. Now, God is never going to command us to do something he doesn't give us the grace to do. So we look at a verse like that, we say, that's impossible. Well, that's a lie to stop renewing your mind with. Now, we may not know how. But it's an intentional thinking. Look at Philippians 4:8. Now it says, finally, brothers, whatsoever things are true, noble, it makes this list, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtue. It says, meditate on these things. Now, other translations say, think on these things. It says, 2025 is a year where we are going to think more intentionally than ever before in our lives. It's intentional thinking. It says in 2 Corinthians 10:4, the weapons of our warfare. Now, the warfare is in our minds. That's where the greatest spiritual warfare is. You know, we have battles because the battle's between lies and truth. You know, God says one thing and my circumstances and feelings are saying it's a war. Anybody else have that war? It's a war. Yeah, I remember years ago, I declared war on my thinking, and there's been no ceasefire. Uh-huh. Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope, say God of hope. Wow. Fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's my life. Or keep it up there for just a while. I love that verse. Because that's a... Now, the key phrase in that is in believing. Now I'll say this. You know, I've said this probably before, you know, that you may abound in hope. You get so much hope, you start abounding. You get the Tigger anointing. Winnie the Pooh, remember, you know that guy? He's one of my mentors. I used to have symptoms of the Eeyore anointing. Nobody wants Pastor Eeyore. Hello, everybody, I'm Pastor Eeyore. It's good to have all two of you here. Thank you for coming, Mom. I'm in part 85 of my series, Why Things Are Only Going to Get Worse. And my main message today is keep watching the news media and keep renewing your mind with everything the news media is saying. Then you'll become realistic. Let's just laugh at that. Nobody wants Pastor Eeyore. That's why I love this house. It's hope. Man, I come here, I get hope. Yeah, it's a, but here's the thing. It says, now, basically that verse says, now may the God of hope fill you in believing. The moment we believe truth is the moment we get filled by the God of hope. Hear this. If you don't get anything else out of this message, hear this. Increasing hope is the evidence we're renewing our mind with truth and we're creating positive strongholds in our life. Strongholds of hope, love, peace, joy. sacrifice, courage. Decreasing hope is the evidence that we're renewing our mind with lies and creating negative strongholds. So this hope thing, we say, what are you going to choose to believe in 2025? Well, I'll give you a hint. If what you choose to believe doesn't increase your hope, get another belief. Go back to God and say, okay, Lord, I need something else. Obviously, I wasn't listening to you. I was listening to the wrong voice. Mm-hmm. Now, Romans 4:20. This is the last verse and I want to say here in the beginning. Romans 4:20. I'm talking about Abraham. And Abraham is held up to us as an example. He's an Old Testament person held up to us as the person to follow his example of how to live in the new covenant. And it says this about him. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. Now, a side note. If you know Abraham's life at all, I think Abraham wavered. Anybody else? Yeah. If you know the story, yeah, he had Ishmael with his wife's handmaiden. How many think that might be a waver? Yeah, I think that classifies. Lying about his wife twice, saying, no, that's not my wife, she's my sister. I think that's a waver. But God's analysis of your own faith and belief systems is different than yours. By the way, I just break off perfectionism today, because perfectionist people can't walk in joy. They can't celebrate. And it's celebrating our progress that gives us the motivation to continue on. And it says that, go back to that verse. It says that he was strengthened in faith. Say strengthened. Now, our beliefs, you know, we start off the year, you know, rightly so, evaluating, how am I doing? What do I need to improve? Yep, I need to exercise more. Anybody else? Amen. Yep, I'm going to get a plan to eat better. Anybody else with me on that? Yep. I'm going to get help in this area of my life that has just been dysfunctional. And yeah, this now's the time. Yeah, I feel. But all of that's good. But I want to propose to you that the greatest New Year strategy, resolution, plan should revolve around our beliefs and getting a plan to strengthen them. You know, we think, well, you know, I'm gonna work out this certain part of my body, you know, and that's good. Once you decide what you're gonna do, that's just the beginning. You know, if I say, well, yep, I'm gonna lift weights 3 times a week, you know, that I'm a weightlifter. Then we get a plan to follow through. Now, it's the same way with beliefs. Once we determine what we're going to believe, then we get a plan to strengthen those beliefs. Now, certainly reading the Bible, coming to church, be having fellowship, and all of that is part of that. But what are the beliefs that are going to most... what are the most important beliefs to strengthen? Now, before I get into that, I think about, well, why, Lord, why have I, a lot of my life, even after I came to Jesus, why did I have such bad beliefs in so many areas? And where do these beliefs come from? Now, we know The Bible says in John 8 that the devil is a liar. Say liar.
Liar.
He's the father of all lies. Now his main goal is to get us to believe lies. That's just what he's trying. I mean, he tried that in the garden with Eve, and he's just lie, 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 lie. He wants us. He's a deceiver. He wants us deception. The nature of deception is that you don't know you're deceived. All right, think, meditate on that for a while. Okay. If you're deceived, you don't know you're deceived. But here's the hint. Any area where you don't have hope, you're deceived. That's how you know you're believing a lie. You don't have hope in it. Yep, okay. You may not know what the lie is, but yep, I'm deceived there. For instance, I used to, okay, let's use a practical area. Let's say about finances. I don't have hope about my finances, and for a long time I didn't. Okay, that lack of hope is telling me I'm believing a lie about my finances. And if I don't go after what that lie is, then I'm probably, and I don't figure out what I have been renewing my mind with that's creating a lack of hope, and I don't determine what the truth is to give me hope, then I'm probably stuck. Because my hopelessness about a problem is a bigger problem than the problem. Turn to your neighbor and say, I think this sermon is just for you. Yeah, husbands and wives. Yeah. It's really for you. You need it more than I need it. My hopelessness about a situation is a bigger problem than the situation. That'll change your life. My hopelessness about my family situation is a bigger problem than my family situation. My hopelessness about my health is a bigger problem than my health. Yeah, and you can just take it. You can take it on. And so as we think about, okay, where do we get our beliefs? I remember the Lord took a phrase out of Genesis 3:11, where God asked Adam, "Who told you that you were naked?" And took the phrase, "Who told you that?" And began talking to me. I'd say things like, "I don't have the gift of healing." The Lord said, "Who told you that? Well, where did you get that belief from? Why are you renewing your mind with that? Because that belief is going to work against you, not for you." I said, "Well, Lord, who told me that? The past told me that." Oh. Well, why do you like to renew your mind with your past rather than what I say? Lord, I do it because all the other Christians around me do it, and I thought I was supposed to, too. Let's just laugh at that. Ha, ha, ha. I would say, "I am a disorganized person." The Lord says, "Who told you that?" "My wife." "Who told you that?" "Yeah, it's my past." "Wow. This area is hard for the gospel." "Who told you that? Why do you renew your mind with that?" Because that belief is going to work against you. You in 2025, if you have beliefs like that, you're going to say the devil's doing all kinds of... Actually, it's your beliefs that's locking things up. "I got my beliefs out of the past. I got my beliefs out of my feelings." "Well, you know." "Yep. I don't feel..." "Yeah, if I was loved by God, I'd feel loved. And because I don't feel loved, therefore I don't believe I'm loved." I like to laugh at things. Just let's just laugh at all this, huh? Yeah, you know, because if I, yeah, that, yeah, I remember I first get saved. I'd come to church. I got saved at 19, and I just barely sometimes crawl into church after a rough week. I give the altar call to be saved again. I'd be sitting in church renewing my mind with my feelings that I wasn't saved, because if I was saved, I'd feel saved. Uh-huh. And because I didn't feel it, then it must not be true. They'd give the altar call to be saved. I'd go up and get saved again. Lord says, Steve, I've got good news for you. You're saved even if you don't feel saved. Wow, that's amazing. That's just profound. Because I thought feelings were the highest indicator of truth there was. Let's chuckle at that as well. If you want a different feeling, you need a different belief. Because God's always going to say, he's going to say, no, we don't deny our feelings. We'll get help with our feelings, get prayer for our feelings. Sometimes our feelings indicate we need deeper ministry, but we can't get our beliefs from our feelings. Because if we keep getting our beliefs from our feelings, we're stuck. I was thinking, yeah, you know, if I was righteous, I would feel righteous, but I don't feel righteous, so I'm waiting to feel righteous before I believe I'm righteous. So what? Lord says, bummer for you. Bummer for you, Steve. You don't know how this thing works. Because you keep renewing your mind with your feelings that you're not righteous, and then you actually perpetuate unrighteous behavior, and you don't understand the process that I'm going to have you renew your mind with righteousness, and it's going to create. Because if you abide in the word righteousness, you're going to know it, and it's going to make you free. It's going to make you free. The word makes you free. The belief is going to make you free. Sometimes we get our beliefs out of the doctrines of men. I mean, just Jesus said in Mark 7:13, your traditions have made the word of God of no effect. I remember Bill Johnson, senior leader at Bethel Church, I remember years ago he said, there's only one thing more powerful than the word of God. What's that? The traditions of men. Belief systems that people have created out of their disappointment, out of things not working. You know, sometimes like someone will die and preacher will say, well, the Lord needed another angel in heaven. Well, that's a tradition of men. Because then we subconsciously believe God's just randomly picking people off so he needs more angels. That's just stupid. But we start believing things. I had seasons of my life where I believed if I wasn't under the current attack of the devil, I must not be a threat to him. So I believe, oh, I'm not, yeah, only spirit, if we're really spiritual, we'll be under a constant attack of the devil. That was my belief system. It's what I renewed my mind with. And, you know, I've got enough challenges in life, let alone having faith for the devil to attack me. Man, I got enough things going on I'm dealing with. I got enough stuff, and, you know, let alone him believing, hey, I must be significant because I'm under attack again. Let me just give you, what do we abide in? What do we renew our mind with? What do we repent with? Let me just give you, closing, just give you five things to do, okay? Five, because 2025 is a year of intentional thinking. It's the year of intent. It's the year where we decide, this is what I'm going to believe, and then I'm going to get a plan. I'm going to speak these truths. I'm going to imagine them with what Wendy shared on Friday night. I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to meditate on it, think it. Number one is the promises of God. What am I going to choose to believe in 2025? Well, I'm going to choose to believe the promises of God. My future's as bright as the promises of God. And so I have to figure out a way, okay, what's the most important promises for me to abide in this year? Because there's all kinds of promises. If you're new to Jesus, just do an online search, Bible promises. You'll find some good stuff. But it says in 2 Peter 1:4, it says this, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious, what? Promises, that through these, through those promises, you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. Now, participating in the divine nature is another way of saying transformation. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's supernatural. It's something that's beyond our ability. It's truth that is supernatural that makes us free. And so just in my time with the Lord, I regularly just meditate, okay, promises. Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. And just meditate, abide in it, talk to myself about it. Thank you, Lord, you're meeting my emotional needs. Thank you, you're meeting my financial needs. Thank you, God, in 2025, you're meeting my need of wisdom, my need of breakthrough, my need of help in this area where I struggle. Thank you. Secondly, we renew our minds and we intentionally say, in 2025, I'm going to the next level in my identity beliefs. I'm going to the next level in believing I am who God says I am. The most important question we can answer is, who do we say Jesus is? The second most important question is, who we say we are. Because we can't consistently do what we don't believe we are. God's always going to upgrade your beliefs. He said this in Mark 2:22. You can't put new wine in an old wineskin. God wants to do higher things in all of our lives. Someone say amen to that. Amen. God has got greater things ahead for us, greater influence. But we can't put the new wine of the new things with old beliefs, especially about ourselves. And the scripture that I've got for that is Jeremiah 1, 6, and 7, where a young prophet, the Lord says, then said I, ah, Lord God, because God already said, I've called you to be a prophet to the nations. He said, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. Here's what the Lord said to that. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am a youth. Quit talking about what you think you're not. Someone say amen to that. And then he says, well, you shall go to all to whom I send, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. He's just saying, I'm going to do it through you. But don't limit yourself by false humility, by focusing on what you believe you're not. We all have things we're not. Not handsome enough. Don't have enough hair. Not tall enough. Not rich enough. Not smart enough. Not from a good enough family enough. Do not say it. Get your eyes off of that, Jeremiah. Get your eyes on who I say. You're a prophet to the nations. Every one of us in this room is significant. Just say, I'm significant. Every one of us has a great purpose. Say, I have a great purpose. And you might have just crawled in here today like I did. And sometimes you're barely alive, you know, and you're feeling, oh, man, you're not staying there. So we renew our mind with our identity. We find out in the Bible who God says we are. Man, I'm anointed. I'm righteous. I'm powerful. I'm loving. I'm a great influence. I'm an influencer of nations. I'm a healer. I lay hands on the sick and they recover. Listen, it's intentional. We don't wait. I used to say, well, Lord, I'll believe it when I see it. I'll believe it when I feel it. Let's laugh at that as well. Uh-huh. That's great, Steve. You're a great man of fact. You're a great man of fact. The third thing that we intentionally in 2025 abide in is prophetic words for our life. I love this house because it values new covenant, New Testament prophecy. And the Lord told Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:18, he said this. Paul told Timothy, this charge I commit to your son Timothy according to the prophecies previously made concerning you. Now, some of you in this room have a lot of prophecies. Some of you are brand new. You say, what's prophecy? You'll learn. You'll learn about it. But prophecy, he says, that by them, by what? By the prophecies you may wage the good warfare. Listen, 2025 is a year to wage warfare with the prophetic words of our lives. It's a year. What are you going to choose to believe this year? Well, you go back to your words. That's why, you know, I'm on staff at Bethel Church. You can in Reading, you can hardly move without getting a prophetic word. Just walk around. Hey, Steve. Yeah, oh, yeah. I just saw something over you. Yep, I had a dream last night. You were in it. You're flying like an eagle. Hold on. Let me pull out my phone, record this. We wage war. Where's the word? It's right here. Because the prophecies are always going to be higher than what you're feeling and experience. A good prophecy. Because it's good prophetic words are going to jolt you out of survivalism. Good prophetic words are going to create vision for, oh, hey, I'm important. I've got greater things ahead. I'm in training for those things. I'm in training. Someone say, I'm in training. I'm in training, and it puts fire in you. And then, fourthly, we intentionally, okay, I choose to believe testimonies. Wow. The testimony of Jesus, the spirit of prophecy. One thing I love about Bill Johnson at Bethel, he's such a great leader, a man of integrity and love and risk-taking. And he values prophecy. I mean, just going back to prophecy, one of the whole reasons Bethel Church in Reading is the way it is because he believed in prophecies. He warred with them. He'd have these 3x5 cards by his bed of all that, and he'd rehearse them day after day after day when he was battling depression, discouragement. It's not happening. He would war with those. And then he values testimony. Testimony is, again, Revelation 19:10, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And every testimony we hear has a prophetic spirit on it for all of us. Do it again. Do it again. In Mark 8:18, Jesus said to his disciples, they were on a boat and they had forgotten to bring bread, and they had one loaf, and they're, you know, Jesus talking about 11 of Pharisees and profound stuff, and they said, you know, hey, is he saying this because we didn't bring bread? And then he says this, having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? If you look at that thing, I won't go into it, but if you look at that, the whole context is that remembering what God has done in the past, intentionally bringing it to our remembrance, is the expectation of God is that it will cause us to see current challenges in a different way. Because that's basically what the disciples' problem in the boat was, is they were all landlocked in their thinking, and they couldn't believe in the supernatural because they didn't remember. And 2025 is a year where God is releasing grace on you to remember testimonies, your own testimonies, significant testimonies, biblical testimonies, and it's going to influence how you see current challenges. That's why being in church is so important. That's why testimonies are so important. And lastly, is this. We renew our minds not only with promises. We say 2025, what am I going to choose to believe? I'm choosing to believe God's promises. I'm choosing to believe my identity. I'm choosing to believe prophetic words. I'm choosing to believe testimonies. And lastly, we renew our minds with decisions we're making and have made. There's an interesting verse in 2 Corinthians 9, 7. It's one of the most profound verses in the Bible to me. It says, so let each one give. Say give. Now, giving is not just financial. Giving is what we give our time to, what we give our passions to, what we give our thinking to. But let each one give as he purposes in his heart, or as another translation says, he decides in his heart. Not grudgingly or of necessity or not reluctantly on compulsion. For God loves what? Cheer for giving. Now, here's... what are you going to choose to believe in 2025? So much of what we choose to believe is connected to the decisions we've made and are making. Now, this verse says, can you put up the slide that has my dogs on it? If you got that slide for, it's a connected, yeah. So... the dog on the right, his name is Buddy. Buddy's a schnoodle. Giant schnauzer, standard poodle. And Buddy battles indecision. Buddy battles double-mindedness. Buddy battles doubt in decision-making. He indicates he wants to come in the house. We open the door, Wendy and I. And Buddy frequently will not move at all with the door open and just stand there looking inside. Yeah. And here's what I'm thinking, Buddy's thinking. Well, I thought I wanted to come in, and now I'm not sure. Because if I go in, I might miss something out there, out here. But if I stay out here, I might miss something in there, like food. And I'm thinking, Buddy, hey, Buddy, will you just decide? You're powerful. You're powerful. You want to come on in? Come on in and believe you're supposed to be in. Keep believing. Hey, if you want to stay out, I bless it. But believe you're supposed to be out there. The Lord says, Steve, you're a lot like Buddy. You're in one place and you're in doubt. Man, I don't know if I should be here. I know. I don't know. I'm not this job. Oh, maybe I should be here. One of the things that, you know, when we decide what we're going to believe in 2025 is we nail down our basic decisions. You know, I do this a lot in my prayer time. I will say, California, I choose you again. I'm supposed to be here. I'm here in faith. I'm not here reluctantly or out of duty and obligation. I don't feel trapped. I'm here in faith. I don't fully know why at times, but I'm here. Reading, I'm here. Bethel Church, I'm in. I choose you again. And every place, Wendy, I choose you again. I'm in. I'm supposed to be here. Say, I'm supposed to be here. It's a powerful thing when we reaffirm, because doubt, double-mindedness, doing things out of duty and obligation, passivity just make you tired. Most people's tiredness is spiritual, not physical. We're just tired because we haven't attached faith to what we're doing. The moment we attach faith to what we're doing, we get cheerfulness. God loves a cheerful giver. I get to be in Caldwell. I'm here in faith. I'm not here, oh, got another meeting. Can't wait to get home. And listen, whether it's your job, whether it's your ministry, whether it's your city, whether it's your house, there's things in that we don't like. There's things we wish were different. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Wendy and I, we disappoint each other. That may shock you. There's things about each other we wish were different. But we choose each other again. I'm in. I'm in faith. And you say, well, what if I'm in a situation and I'm not sure? I'm not sure. Well, I got a book out there called Fully Convinced, The Art of Decision Making. I believe it's my most powerful book. It'll help you decide, clarify your options. And then finally, you're going to decide. You know, base your decision on scripture, good people in your life, God's stories. But finally, you're just going to have to decide. Buddy, will you just decide? And I felt like this piece, all of this is good. You know, what are you going to choose to believe in 2025? You choose, and then you get a plan to strengthen those beliefs through declarations, biblical meditation, abiding in the word, talking to other people about it, putting sticky notes all over the house. Whatever you got to do, this is what I've decided to believe. But I thought this one about decision making. I just sensed the Holy Spirit was and is doing something powerful right now in this. And this is a key. For some of you, this is the key that's going to unlock everything. It's going to unlock it. Because once you decide and you say, I'm not here just to receive. I'm here to contribute. I'm here in faith. I'm supposed to be here. I choose you again. Something powerful happens. And when I renew my mind, I say, I've chosen. Okay, here's the things I believe the Lord's told me to do. Financial situation, here, to the best of my ability, this is what I've decided to do, how I'm supposed to approach it. Yep, I renew my mind again with that. Yes, yeah, hasn't changed it. Nope, yep. That's how I believe I'm supposed to handle it. Family situation, I've made a decision. Here's how I'm going to think about it, what I'm going to do about it. And then I renew my mind again. Yep, that's again. Lord, if you want to change my mind, you can change my mind, but I'm not just going to be tossed to and fro by every new thing or every disappointment that I experience. Because I'm a man on assignment. Someone just go, rah! Ah! In a moment, I'm going to have, I don't know if Wendy will want to say anything. And in a moment, I'm going to have Andy and Jenny. I've asked them to pray over you and release something. But wow, it's so exciting just to, you know, I'm out there in dingy motel in the middle of Nevada. Grumpy. Victim. All these strongholds. Pessimism. Disappointed again. Disappointed again. It's not working. And the Lord says, Steve, you don't need a new set of circumstances as much as you need a new set of beliefs. Because if I give you higher circumstances with those old wineskin beliefs, you're just going to blow those new things up. But I got good news for you. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. All we got to do is just say, God, I give you permission to expose lies in my life, and I give you permission to lead me into the truth. John 16:13 says the Holy Spirit will lead you into all the truth. Holy Spirit, He's going to do it. Matter of fact, He's already doing it. So many of you have come so far. Man, you've come so far. You're believing that. Years ago, people look at, who are you? But I'll say it this way. You ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen nothing yet. And Jesus said, all things are possible to him who believes. There's no limit on our life when we say, hey, I'm prioritizing, I'm going to strengthen my beliefs. There's no limit to what God can do through us and in us. Do you guys receive this message?
Yes.
If you receive it, say, I receive it.
I receive it.
I'll never be the same again.
Amen.
Give the Lord a shout of praise. Yeah. Give him another shout. Yes! The walls are coming down. Oh, my, oh, my. Come on up, Andy and Jenny. And I just so value who you guys are. Senior leaders of they planted a church in San Jose, California years ago. Came up to Redding Bethel Church. Have just gotten rocked by the Holy Spirit in this last season. Have a ministry to, especially to evangelicals who are looking to go deeper in the Holy Spirit. Andy's got a book we'll show you about in a moment. So, Jenny, good to see you.
That worked.
Yep. And I asked you to pray specifically for something. Can you share what that is and then release that?
So Steve asked me to ask the Lord for a word for Treasure Valley, the Treasure Valley. And as I was meditating on the Treasure Valley last night, the very first picture that came to mind, well, the first phrase was Garden of Eden, that the Treasure Valley is a modern day Garden of Eden. And I saw green hills, all these glorious shades of green, 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 life, life, life. And there was the river of life flowing through it. I'm hearing over Treasure Valley that you're a modern day Garden of Eden. And I hear that this church is the epicenter, the spiritual epicenter. Thank you, Jesus. Treasure Valley is known as a place where people walk with God as in the Garden of Eden. You hear His very footsteps walking with you in the cool of the day. And from the moment you wake up, Treasure Valley, you commune with the Lord. Your heart, your thoughts, your spirit is intimately connected to the Father's heart. You are in Jesus, and Jesus is in you. Treasure Valley, you are known for your abundance of resources, not just physical resources, but massive resources of love, of support, belief in others, kindness. When people enter this valley, any spirit of scarcity is broken off. I hear true identity over Treasure Valley. I see men, women, children being drawn to this valley because when they step into your atmosphere, a spirit of confusion is broken off of them. Glasses of deception that they've been seeing themselves through are removed, and Father God gives them brand new glasses. They understand that they are true sons and daughters of a loving Father. And I got 2 Corinthians 5:16. You no longer regard anyone according to the flesh. You see people according to the Spirit. You don't see people according to their past, but you see people the way the Father sees them. And lastly, God gave me a picture. I saw somebody handling money. It was either a teller or a banker, and they were studying it. And I hear about Treasure Valley, that you behold the face of God. So just like people study the $100 bill to find out what the authentic bill is, you behold the face of God. You understand the way he moves, the way he thinks, the way he loves. You watch his ways. You're filled with his goodness and his glory. Your faces are radiant because your eyes are fixed on him. And as here comes your assignment, as you behold him, people will be drawn to you. I hear the word flocking to you because you have been believing, because they've been believing in a counterfeit God, but they know that you have beheld and know the one true living God. Yeah. I bless you, Treasure Valley.
And I got the honor to pray for you and just hear the Lord on your behalf as a church, as Valley Church. And what I heard the Lord saying is that you're entering into a season of goodness, of God's goodness. And God is always good, but this is going to be an abundant goodness. This is like when you go to the restaurant and you eat a good meal, like you're at Cheesecake Factory and you just ate a great meal and the waitress comes back and then she says, "Would you like a piece of cheesecake?" And usually you say, no, I'm good. But this time, you get to eat that cheesecake. It's going to be that sort of season of goodness. As you find refuge in God, you're going to taste and see that the Lord is good. So any area of your life where you're finding refuge in him, you're going to taste and see the abundant goodness of the Lord. And the other word picture that I got for this church is that you're like a fire in this community, like a bonfire in this community. And a bonfire is just to attract people. People want to come around it, see it, look at it. And the good news is that you're not the fire. The Holy Spirit is the fire. But that you come and gather around the fire and your faces turn bright and red because you've been around the fire and you feel warmth. And other people are going to say, "I want to feel warm just like they feel warm." And they're going to join with you around this fire because you've gathered around this fire as well. So I just release these words over you. And 2025 is going to be a year of power, of beliefs, and an excitement of what the Lord is doing at this church and in this valley.
Yes, you guys receive that. Just stay up here, please. Yes, thank you. Hey, I want to put the slide up for Andy's book. And Andy, can you just say something about that? Just what this is. And Andy just got his doctorate in what?
In contextual theology.
Contextual theology, wrote a book, just came out. You don't have them with you right now, but this is a great book.
Yeah, so we come from a more traditional Christian background, and so entering into an environment like this, there was a lot to behold and learn. And so I did my doctorate dissertation on Bethel Church to see, all right, what is the Lord doing here? What's he doing culturally? What's he doing theologically? And so I turned that dissertation into a book, and interestingly enough, a publisher wanted to publish it. So it just came out, and already it was on Amazon's it was the number one selling hot new release in Christian pneumatology, which is the study of the Spirit. It was a big surprise to me. It's totally God. But if you have friends who are wondering, okay, what kind of church do you go to? And I have some questions about Valley Church. This is a great book for people to learn more about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit works in a community environment. So, that's available on Amazon or anywhere you buy books online.
So good. We're so proud of you. We'll rotate that slide back in case you want to come back to it. And then just one other slide I just want to show the connect with us slide again. And if You want to connect with what we're doing at Igniting Hope, I do a weekly podcast, blog. We've got online courses. Wendy has just started a course called Academy of the Unseen Realm. I'm just starting a course on radical growth for 8-week online course. And we're really committed to just equipping people with hope, with belief systems, renewing the mind with truth instead of lies, and joy. And we've got books out there on the book table. We've got some children's books as well. And those, if someone can't afford a book, just do what you can. Just say, hey, this is all I can do. And we don't want finances to get in the way of anything. But what a great day. Matthew, are you going to help us close?
Come on. Give a shout if you were empowered today. And give a shout if you were equipped. Man, I felt equipped and empowered today. Well, what a powerful time we had today. I'm going to ask the prayer team to come up today. We do have a prayer team who wants to believe with you for what the Lord has in 2025. So spectacular. We're continuing our 21 days of prayer. So just encouragement to you, just so we can do that as one body on the app. Pull that out and have an amazing Sunday. You guys are amazing. Bless you. Go in His promises and in His beliefs today. We love you. We love you. Love you. Have a great day.